KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlene D and the Wushketon of the Akkwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who traveled to and from their homes from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and whose children played on the beaches and learned to row in the harbor. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunas chish for your patience as we learn.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak gunish cheesh.
You're tuned in to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest today is Nico Sanguinetti, here to give us an update on the City Museum. Hi, Nico.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Nico, you're the curator of collections and exhibits at the museum, and month after month, you and your colleagues have been persevering through these hard times and bringing us new and interesting and exciting art and history exhibits. What's been keeping you all going this whole time?
I think really trying to do something new. We realized when we closed the first time that we weren't able to connect with our community in the way that we traditionally did. So we challenged ourselves to step outside the box and try our best to bring our museum to the community instead of waiting for the community to come to us, because they just couldn't do that. So I think having a small, tight team, we've all been challenging each other to do something new and exciting. And so because the museum world is quite small, even though we're spread across a large space, we see what other people are doing and go, oh, could we maybe do that? Is there something like that that we could do here? Can we twist that and make it our own? So we've just really been trying to do as much as we can with our limited resources and being closed. So we appreciate everyone who's been engaging with us. We've been having a lot of fun with it.
You guys are doing quite a bit of fun stuff. And today you're here to talk about the 12 by 12 art exhibit, a longstanding tradition at the museum. But before we get to that, I want to re-engage in this ongoing discussion about an exhibit that you and I probably talked about more than any other, the Echoes of War, Onaga Internment During World War II. It was in the news this week and you gave an interview to KTOO's Ian Dixon. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely. We're always grateful to be part of this project that really has been focusing on the internment camps at Thunder Bay. And I know Ian reached out to me because he had been speaking with Martin Stepitin about the bill that has been reintroduced in the House side of the legislature. We tried passing a bill a couple of years ago, but it did get stalled in the Senate when COVID hit. So the two-year limit was up, and we're restarting trying to basically protect the land that the cemetery is on out at Thunder Bay by adding it to the already existing State Marine Park out there. And when Ian was speaking with Martin about this particular bill, he told me he came to realize that it was a larger project than just the bill itself. So it's always nice to be able to talk about this amazing group that we've been working with across the state, who have been focusing on not only the bill, but this museum exhibit and then interpretive panels out at Thunder Bay. So we're always excited to be able to talk a little bit more about the project. So thank you for letting us do that.
Absolutely. In the article, you've got a great quote. You say, even though this is a terrible event, it didn't destroy them and it doesn't completely define them. So we wanted to make sure that we ended with the idea of hope. Would you like to add anything else to that?
Definitely. When we were really starting this project, I became involved at the end of 2018, and talking with people from St. Paul and St. George whose families were interned, that was something that kept coming up. Is we often tend to look at history as this over and done with thing, and we especially look at horrific traumatic events as this, it happened, it's terrible, woe is me, and really want to focus on the cruelty that happened. And in some ways, we do want to talk about that because it's an important aspect of what happened. But constantly what kept coming up with speaking with these family members is this idea that, but today we are here, and where they've come from since then and what they've learned and what they've been able to build after that. So it was very important for them, for the exhibit to come full circle and to not just look at it as this historical event, but as part of a larger, longer story that results in today and what people are doing on St. Paul and St. George and here in Juneau and across the state. So we wanted to make sure that that was reflected, because we were trying to, as much as possible with this exhibit, to really just act as the mouthpiece for the people on St. George and St. Paul, who really, it's their story to tell. We just really wanted to give them a space to do that. So we're grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, and you can find that article that Nico and I are referring to on ktoo.org. It was published yesterday. The title is, "They're Going to Be Safe. Bill Would Protect Onaga Cemetery at Funter Bay." And at the City Museum, the exhibit runs through October 2021. And this week marks the second First Friday of 2021. It's kind of going by a little bit more quickly than maybe last year did. And coming up next month, the museum, City Museum, is going to be continuing the tradition of the 12 by 12 art exhibit. Do you know how long this exhibit has been happening?
You know, I don't actually... Sorry, I don't. It was put in place by Ellen Carley, who's now the conservator down at the State Museum, when she was the curator here. So it's been going on for at least 15 years, is my understanding.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. It's so far back, Nico can't remember.
And I'm so sorry. Expert. We're just looking at this year.
All right. Well, the theme this year is heritage. Would you like to update us on the details?
Definitely. So every year we always ask for people to make suggestions for what next year's 12 by 12 theme will be. And then we take a look at those and then kind of decide. And heritage specifically, I think not only have we had a year of pandemic from in 2020, but it's really been a year of this discussion about heritage and what that means to people. So we thought it was a perfect opportunity for this 12 by 12 to give our community a platform to talk about and represent their own heritage in their own way. So we're excited to see what people come up with. And this month is really the organizational month, because it's a community art show. Everything is done by the community and then kind of put together by our team here. So we're trying something a little bit different this year. We are leaving the Echoes of War exhibit up through this coming summer, which means we don't have the usual space that we put the exhibit up in. Also, when we were planning this, we weren't sure if we were going to be open. We really didn't know what the future held. So this year, we decided to do a virtual 12 by 12 instead of just canceling it completely. So we're hoping people are still creating their art at home. And what we're going to be asking for is high-resolution photographs of the piece that they created on a flash drive that can be either mailed or dropped off at the museum. And we download the image and give your USB flash drives right back. But we're asking for our entry forms to be turned in by the 13th, which is next Saturday. And those entry forms can be found on our website or actually in person in our museum, since we're currently open to the public, which is great. So you can either pick one up there, here, or get it from online. And then the drop-off week is going to be the last week of February, so it'll be the 23rd through the 27th, and then we're going to put everything together, and the exhibit is going to be launched on our website for the first Friday in March, which will be on the 5th.
Excellent. And what are your hopes for this exhibit, which, as you said, is happening virtually this year?
I'm really just hoping to have a good response from our community. I know it's been a really rough year and it's been difficult for people. Some people have been getting really into their art, so I'm hoping that they might have remembered the 12 by 12 and created something really interesting. Or I'm also hoping maybe if you haven't been working on art or you haven't really felt the desire to do anything artistic, that this might be a catalyst to produce something for this exhibit. And because we've never done anything quite this in-depth virtually before, it's also an opportunity for us here at the museum. We're learning new programs and learning new ways to make our collections a bit more accessible in a non-traditional format. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the community creates, and I'm looking forward to what we at the museum can then turn around and create to display these creations.
Excellent. And then is there anything going on at the museum for this coming First Friday, happening this Friday?
Yes. So unfortunately, we're not having extended hours like we would normally. However, we will be open, and we have put some new pieces on display that you'd be able to come and take a look at. So we have a few masks woven by Lily Hope, Ancestral Indigenous Protectors, which are absolutely beautiful. We also have a large basket, the Big Hug Basket, created by Della Cheney. And then a couple of pieces by Abel Ryan. One is a large triptych of panels. They're beautiful, beautiful work, as well as a bentwood box that houses the project COVID Secrets by Larissa Manuel. So a couple of things are changing and rotating out. So we're not having a big blowout first Friday like we might have in the past, but we are doing our best to make sure that we're still switching things out, keeping things fresh, and have new things for people to take a look at.
Oh, you guys are doing great. I know it hasn't been easy. Nico Sanguinetti, curator of collections and exhibits at the Juno Douglas City Museum. Thanks for being with me here. We're just going to mention that your hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday through Sunday, but you can also come to see the museum by appointment. And those virtual tours available via robot are still happening. So I think that's probably one of the coolest things I've seen all year. So I'm glad those are still going. And you can also give them a call, 586-3572. Anything else to add, Nico?
We'd just like to thank Michelle Storer. She sponsored the month of February. So admission is still free for anyone who comes into the museum.
Right. And you guys have a very active website, YouTube channel, and Facebook page, facebook.com/Juno Douglas City Museum. Lots of current updates and fun virtual content. Nico, thanks again.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You as well.
Thanks.